Morning. Today's daf is Nun Ches in Chulin. Started a topic of conversation of birds. We're going to continue our discussion of birds, and we're going to discuss also a little bit more general discussion about treifa. We're in the Gemara. We're on Nun Zayin Amud Beis, and we're towards the bottom of the Amud. We're starting with the words Amar Rav Huna. The Gemara begins Amar Rav Huna, similar treifa Yud Beis Chodesh. Okay, I told you from the very beginning of the third parak that the issue that comes up again and again, which is extraordinarily controversial, it's debated in the Gemara, is whether or not a treifa will live for more than 12 months. Okay, the Gemara called this earlier treifa chaya, treifa eino chaya. Over here, essentially what the Gemara is saying is that a treifa will not live. And how do I know this? In other words, what can I do with that information? Is that if a treifa goes on, well, let's not call it a treifa, okay? Let's say that we have an animal that we suspect is a treifa. We're not sure, we're not 100% sure, but we have a suspicion that it's a treifa. It was attacked, it fell, right? Something happened to it. So, if you take the position that a treifa can't live, so now, wait and see. Meaning, if this animal goes and lives for another 12 months, or 13 months, another 2 years, so then you're good. Meaning, now you know that it's not a treifa, okay? In other words, a prognosis of a treifa is that it will die within 12 months. So, if you can now go and see that it lived for more than 12 months, so now you have to come up with a new diagnosis. It must be that it's not a treifa. So this is the position of Rav Huna. Rav Huna says that a similar treifa Yud Beis Chodesh. Okay. That's Rav Huna's position. He feels very strongly about it. The Gemara will challenge. The Gemara will press him. Meisvei. The Gemara says, let's challenge. Similar treifa kol she'eino yoledes. What's a similar treifa? Meaning, what are good ways of diagnosing that the animal is, in fact, a treifa? So the Tanakhama says it's not going to give birth. Now, obviously, we're only talking about a female, right? And obviously, and his position is that it cannot give birth, meaning it simply cannot. That's not true. I guess we could be talking about a male as well. In other words, I guess it can't. It can't impregnate. I'm not 100% sure whether this statement is true for both male and female. It's in the context of a female. All right, so let's leave it like that. So, similar treifa kol she'eino yoledes. I'm sorry, mishabachas v'oleches biyadushi yikshir, misnavna v'oleches biyadushi yitreifa. According to Shimon Gamliel, you know what's a good, symptoms of a treifa? It can't improve. It will not improve in its condition. Meaning that if you see that it actually makes a turn for the better, meaning fell, we're not sure, maybe a treifa, may not be a treifa. If it only degenerates, it's a treifa. If its condition improves, not a treifa. Rebbe Omer, similar treifa, shloshim yom. So the Rebbe's of the position that, no, you know what a similar treifa is? 30 days. Meaning if it goes ahead and it survives for more than 30 days, it's not going to be a treifa. Amru lo v'halo harbe miskayem ha'shtayim v'shalosh shanim. So they say to Rebbe, what are you talking about? We've seen treifas go on and live for 2 to 3 years. Okay. Ad kan divrei ha-braisa, that's the end of the braisa. What you see clearly from this braisa, clearly, is that there are tanaim out there, specifically the ones who rebutted Rebbe at the very end of the braisa. You see tanaim who are of the opinion that a treifa can go and live. And not just live, but live for 2 to 3 years. So the Gemara is obviously asking a question against Rav Huna. Rav Huna says that a treifa cannot live for more than 12 months. So the Gemara says, Tanaihi, look, what can I tell you? It's a machlokis tanai. The Gemara says, I'll show you the following braisa. Now, this braisa we're about to learn really is more related to Tumas Ohel, but as we pointed out a couple of times already, there is a correlation between Tumas Ohel and treifa. Notably, in the world of Gulgolas, Shedra v'Gulgolas, right? The skull and the backbone. Now, we already discussed earlier in the third parak regarding the backbone, how many vertebrae need to be missing in order for the animal to both not give off Tumas Ohel, or actually when I say animal, I mean human, right? Human remains not to give off Tumas Ohel. And in an animal, how many vertebrae need to be missing in order for the animal now to be considered a treifa? And the two issues are linked, and there's a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Similarly, we have another machlokas in terms of a hole in the skull. If there is a hole in the skull of a human, of human remains, how large a size of the hole does it need to be in order for that human remains not to give off to Tumas Ohel? Similarly, how much of a size of the hole in an animal does there need to be in order for the animal not to be a, or I'm sorry, to be a treifa? Uva Gilgalis, Shiesh Banekav Echad Aruch Afil Nekabim Harbe, Mitzdarfim Lamale Mikdach. Right? The size of a hammer head. Okay? That is the shear. And the Mishnah tells us that when it comes to the shear of the size of a hammer head, meaning that you need a hole the size of the head of a hammer, you can have any hole add up to get to the shear. So in other words, you can have a long, narrow slit. You can have a number of perforations. If all those holes add up to the Malo Mikdach, then in fact, the animal is going to be a trefa. I'm Rabbi Yossi ben HaMishula, Maitha Anvul Be'echad She Niftchas HaGalgalaso. So there was a story once where a person actually had a split skull, meaning his skull opened up. And they think of this as a band-aid. They put a little pumpkin skin, a little gourd, on the top where the hole was in the skull, and he went on and he lived. Amalo Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Misham Raya, Yemosa Chamahaya became a Shavar Olav, Yemosa Tinam Yad Meis. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, that doesn't mean anything. Meaning, right now it's the summertime. Okay, so a little hole in the skull in the summertime, right? There's no chill. It'll be fine. He'll be fine, but he's not going to make it through the winter. And the Gemara says, "V'kem shavu alav yimosatina miyad meis." Once winter came, and the cold came, and the cold penetrated through the opening of the skull, so then he died. Okay, and as Rashi explains over here, what's the point the Gemara is making? Point of the Gemara is making is that when you're a trefa. Okay, so you have a hole, specifically here we're talking about a hole in the skull. When you're a trefa, at least according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, you're not going to make it through the year. Why? Because every year is composed of a summer and a winter, a hot season and a cold season. Sometimes the cold can help you keep going, but then you have to suffer the hot season. Okay, you're not going to make it through the hot season. Sometimes, like in this scenario that the Gemara just painted over here, you can make it through the hot season, but then you have the cold, and you're not going to make it through the cold. So in other words, right, the idea behind a trefa not being able to live for more than a year is because contained within a year, you're going to experience every season. You're going to experience the hot season, you're going to experience the cold season, and a person who is a trefa or an animal who is a trefa will not live through that year simply because you're not going to be able to make it through every season. What you see over here at least is one Tana, Rav Shimon ben Elazar, who supports the position of Rav Huna, that a trefa will not make it over a year. Okay, so it's true. There are other Tanaim who disagree with Rav Huna. There are Tanaim who say that a trefa can live for 2 to 3 years. Nevertheless, and there is a Tana, Rebbe, who says that a trefa can't even live 30 days. But at least you do find support for the position of Rav Huna, that a trefa cannot live for more than a year. The Gemara continues. Amar Rav Acher bar Yaakov Halacha Trefa Yoledes U'Meshabachas. Okay, the Gemara gives out a couple of declarative statements. Declarative statement number one, issued by Rav Acher bar Yaakov. Remember the name; it's important because as we go through Nimchet Amar Aleph and just to follow the Gemara, you're going to need to remember a couple of names. So the name you're going to need to remember is Rav Acher bar Yaakov. Rav Acher bar Yaakov says that the accepted halacha is that a trefa can give birth, meaning, so that means that if the mother is a trefa, and the mother is now in a situation where she is critically wounded, so she will die. Okay, is she going to die within 12 months? So Rav Huna says yes, others disagree. But she's in the status of a trefa, she still has the physical ability to be able to give birth. Okay, her life force is not depleted to the point where she is no longer able to generate new life. Even though she's dying, she could still generate new life. And umishabachas. And at least temporarily, her condition can improve. Okay? The condition of a trefa can improve. So, that means, okay, listen carefully, according to Rav Acher bar Yaakov, even though an animal is a trefa, she still has the ability to give birth, and her condition can improve. That means that if either one of those things happen, that doesn't negate the fact that she's still a trefa. Mom, and again, we're talking about animals right now, but mom could still be a trefa even though she just gave birth, and even though her situation has improved, she still can have the status of being a trefa. Now, please remember, we're talking about simanim over here. We're talking only about signs, meaning A treifa, as we've been discussing from the very beginning of the parak, the treifa is an empirical reality. Meaning, if there's a hole in the esophagus, the animal's a treifa. There's nothing to discuss. We don't need to look for signs. Meaning, you shech the animal, you open up the intestines, right? Like we learned earlier in the Masechta, you have to flip the intestines inside out. But you do an examination of the intestines, you do an examination of the esophagus, and you find that there's a hole, that's an empirical reality. The animal's a treifa. That's not in the discussion right now. What's in the discussion of the Gemara right now is simanim. We're looking for signs right now. We want to see signs that help us indicate whether the animal is or is not a treifa. For example, right, like Rashi says, the animal fell, right? Is the animal a treifa or is the animal not a treifa? We're not 100% sure. Or, another example, animal was attacked. And we didn't see if the claw actually went in or the claw did not go in of the attacking animal. So here we have a suffix. We're not sure. So what Rav Acha bar Yaakov is saying is, well, if this animal gives birth, that's not indicative of anything. Because even a treifa can give birth. Well, let's say the condition of the animal is improved. Also not indicative of anything. Because the condition of a treifa can improve.
Treifa,
even while the animal is a treifa, the animal could still do things, meaning give birth and even improve. It's experience a temporary recovery.
But it's a status, it's not a condition.
I'm acknowledging, we're not discussing where you know empirically the animal is a treifa. Once you know empirically the animal is a treifa, there's no discussion to be had. We're just looking now for symptoms, for some sort of sign, some sort of symptom that the animal's a treifa. The examples I gave, which is really Rashi's examples, is where we're not sure. We're unsure whether or not the animal's a treifa. For example, it fell off a roof. For example, it was attacked, and we're not sure if the claw actually penetrated.
So you cannot
Right, so, good question. It relates to this also. Meaning, again, we'll go back to the Tanaim. The Tanaim argue this very point. Meaning, there are Tanaim who say if it lived for 2 to 3 years, it could still be a treifa. We do find some treifas living. That's one opinion. Another opinion of the Gemara is no. If it lived for 2 to 3 years, I don't know. I guess you'll have to say. I guess you'll have to say that maybe it wasn't really punctured. I'm not sure how, in other words, if you maintain like Rav Huna, which, right, I'm not 100% sure what the halacha is in terms of that. But if you maintain like Rav Huna, it can't. It won't live for more than 12 months if, in fact, it really has a puncture in the esophagus.
As an average, that's not a...
I don't know if he's giving an average. I'm not sure.
When you have anywhere from 30 days to 2 years, I mean...
Right. Okay.
Could be that you have two categories. You know, like one category that if they have...
Right. Okay.
Oh,
yeah, correct. This whole discussion, I'm just making that clear, this whole discussion is only under the circumstance where we don't know. Amar Amemar. Hani Bei Treifa. Okay, now, so we've just established, according to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, that a treifa can in fact give birth. Okay, so now you can have a chicken who is a treifa and can still lay eggs. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to have a wonderful discussion. Really, really excellent discussion. What's the status with the eggs?
Chicken or the egg.
Okay, so Amar Amemar, honey bay de treifa. So you have now eggs coming out of a treifa. Shichla kama asira, the first round of eggs that come out, that's going to be asir. Mikan ve'elach, havalei zevezei garim amutar. From that point forward, we're now going to invoke the rule of Zev Zegorim. Okay, a lot to explain over here. Let's go through this slowly. Okay, look at the top Rashi. Rashi over here explains. Okay, you have a chicken which is a treifa. Okay, and now chicken lays eggs, which, as we pointed out again, according to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, that can happen. Okay, the first round of eggs that come out is going to be asur. Rashi says, look at the top Rashi. When the animal actually becomes a treifa, when the chicken becomes a treifa, all the eggs inside are asur. Why? Rashi here invokes the rule, uber yerechimahu, the ima nitrifa, because we know that a fetus is just simply part, an extension of the mother. It's what we call uber yerechimo, it's a limb of the mother. Look, if the chicken's a treifa, obviously I can't eat any of its limbs, right? Obviously. Meaning, the chicken's being a treifa, the limb's a treifa. clearly. An egg is nothing more than just simply an extension of the mother. So, uber yerchima, so therefore...
Are we saying that an egg is the same thing as a fetus?
Yeah. Okay, now, later on this morning, we're gonna make it a little more sophisticated. We're gonna add a little bit of innuendo to this discussion. But right now, just say it simple. Yeah, an egg is part of the mother. It's like a fetus. Okay, so mikan ve'elech, however... If it becomes impregnated after the chicken becomes a trefa, so then the Gemara says zeva zegorin is mutter. Now, zeva zegorin is a concept that comes up time and again throughout Shas. And it means like this. Zeva zegorin, I'm creating something. In this object's formation, I had a number of ingredients that went in order to cause it to grow. Right? I'll tell you where we use the concept of zeva zegorin. When we talk about baking something, right? Making a dough. Right? I know it's a funny application, but when we talk about making a dough, so how do you make dough? So you need leaven. You need some sort of leavening agent. So very often we have the discussion, the Gemara has a discussion where some of the leavening agent is prohibited, some of the leavening agent is permissible. This falls under the category of zev zegorin. This and this causes it to grow. Now, the concept of bitul over here isn't really at work. Because zev zegorim, in other words, I'm not tasting the leaven. The leaven is actually making it happen. It actually is bringing it into being. So if the leavening agent is prohibited and it's making something else grow, that which grows now is going to be prohibited. Absolutely. But the discussion, however, becomes much more nuanced when part of what makes it grow is prohibited, and part of what makes it grow is permissible. This is what's called zev zegorim. What's the halacha? Machlokas. This is subject to a debate amongst the Tanayim, whether or not zev zegorim is mutter or zev zegorim is aser. Here, we have another application, one which is much more literal. Zev zegorim, we're talking now about the production of a fetus. Right. So in order to create a fetus, it takes two. It takes a male and it takes a female. We're not talking now about the eggs that were developed after the animal becomes a trefa. We're not talking about the eggs that developed inside, when the animal becomes a trefa. Thank you. We're talking now about after mom becomes a trefa. So mom's only got a limited time where it's going to live. Okay, but still, in its limited time left on this earth, still can become pregnant and can actually deliver another fertilized egg. So here now, I have to look at this egg as being a product of both mom and dad, because we're talking about a case where mom was impregnated after it becomes the trefa. So now I have two grummas, two causes for this egg, mom and dad. So this is what's called zev zegorin. So the Amemar says that after it becomes a trefa, and then it becomes impregnated, since dad is not a trefa, so therefore this egg is subject to the rule zev zegorim, and this is important, the Maimar's of the opinion, zev zegorim is mutter. Eser Rav Ashla Maimar, the Gemara now quotes this is a Mishnah. A Mishnah against a Maimar, v'shavim bebeitzes trefa shasur mimnesha gala be'iser. So the Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Adios. The Mishnah over there says that if I have an egg of a trefa, okay, it is going to be prohibited because shigadla be'isser, right? It grew inside a mother that was usser. So the Gemara answers very simply. Excellent. So the Gemara says that was talking about an unfertilized egg, meaning the nature of chickens are, chickens lay eggs all the time, even if it wasn't fertilized, even if it did not mate. So that Mishnah is talking about unfertilized eggs. Of course, unfertilized eggs are going to be, it's not zev zegorim. The only thing that caused that egg into being is mom. Mother's a trefa, egg's a trefa. V'lishnilei b'shich l'kama. So the Gemara says, okay, good, that's a wonderful explanation. But just the Gemara is just curious. How come you didn't use the explanation that we gave in explaining Amemar? Meaning Amemar says there's a difference between the first round of eggs, meaning eggs that developed inside when the animal became a trefa versus eggs that were developed after the animal became a trefa. Why don't we do that? So the Gemara says that's for a technical reason. Im kein gadla gamra mi ba'yelei. Because if you look at that Mishnah, the Mishnah does chooses its words very carefully. The Mishnah says over there, gadla, it grew inside. If we were making a distinction between the first round versus any round subsequent, the Mishnah should have used the words of gamra. It finished inside the mother. Okay, so for a technical reason, we didn't use that amamer explanation.
This will be the same with animals as well as birds?
We'll see. The egg discussion is a better discussion because the eggs are laid even if the animal is not fertilized. As opposed to an animal, cannot have a fetus unless there's a mom and there's a dad. We learned in the Mishnah of La Trefa, Rebbe Lazar Omer Lo Yikrav Lagabe Mizbech, Rebbe Yishua Omer Yikrav. Okay? The Gemara says, consider the following. Now this is, I believe, a Brisa, even though it says that non, we're going to correct that, it's a Brisa. Vla Trefa, fetus of an animal which is a Trefa, which again, can happen. A Trefa can give birth. Now we're not talking about chickens, we're talking about animals. Fetus of an animal that was born, mom was a Trefa, so Rebbe Eliezer says, you cannot offer it as a carbon. Rabbi Yeshua says you can. But my kamithli, let's attempt to understand this machlokas. B'shenitra falosof ibra, we're talking about where first mom becomes a trefa, then becomes impregnated after becoming a trefa. Rabbi Lazar savor zevezegarim master, Rabbi Yeshua savor zevezegarim mutter. So the Gemara now lines up that what's that issue over here. Everyone agrees what the case is. The case is, mom becomes a trefa. After having become a trefa, then she becomes impregnated. Now, this fetus is a result of mom and dad. Mom being aser, a trefa. Dad being mutter, not a trefa. So the Gemara says, so this is now zevezegarim. As I explained earlier this morning, that's subject to a machlokas tanaim. What is the result? If you have a case of zevezegarim, the resulting fetus, mutter or aser. So the Gemara says, that's exactly the machlokas. So the Gemara says, okay, let me just ask you this. How come we're talking about carbon? Carbon is a very sophisticated discussion. Meaning,
different requirements.
Yeah, there are correct. There's different standards for a carbon. If we're really discussing the issue of zevezegarim, why don't we just have a nice simple discussion of, can I eat it or can I not eat it? Why don't we discuss that? That's exactly what the Gemara asks. So So the Gemara says, why don't we just discuss whether you and I can eat this animal? Which is a much more basic discussion. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua is flexing over here. He's flexing his halachic muscle. Rabbi Yeshua wants to tell us, not only can you and I eat it, but you can even offer it as a carbon. The Gemara says, why doesn't Rabbi Elazar flex his muscle? Meaning, why doesn't Rabbi Elazar say, you know how austere it is? It's so austere that you and I can't eat it, right? Wouldn't that be an excellent flex of Rabbi Eliezer's muscle? The Gemara gives an answer, which, powerful answer of the Gemara, if we're talking about flexing halachic muscle, it is much more impressive for someone to say that it's mutter than for someone to say that it's aser. Rashi in the Gemara in Beitza explains. Anybody can say something is aser. I could say something is aser, right? It doesn't take any fortitude, because what do you got to lose? Okay, you may be wrong, but you know, you erred on the side of caution. But when you say something is mutter, that means unequivocally you know that something is mutter. That is a more stronger position to take. So if we're talking about where is it better to show position of strength, and something which is us or something which is mutter, it is always better to show position of mutter, because there you are confident, you know that actually is mutter. Umodim, we continue in the Gemara. Umodim bebeitzes trefa shasur b'desaf nemar d'chad garim hu. However, if it's an unfertilized egg and the chicken lays an unfertilized egg, so that means now that there's only one garim, there's only one cause, and that's mom, obviously the egg is going to be usr. Good. That takes us through step one of the Gemara. Okay, let's just quickly sum up where we're at. Step one of the Gemara. We have Rav Acha bar Yaakov saying that a trefa can in fact give birth. We have a mamer saying that you have an egg laid by a chicken. If the egg was produced while the chicken became a trefa, obviously that egg is going to be prohibited, because the chicken is a trefa, the egg inside is going to be trefa as well. Subsequent eggs that come out are going to be fine. Why? Zevizegorim. Because subsequent eggs. And it's only by fertilized eggs. Subsequent eggs that come out, and they have to be fertilized, have a mom and have a dad. This is what's called zevizegorim. The eggs afterwards are going to be
murdered.
And if it's unfertilized, everyone agrees that's going to be usur.
What about if it's a suffix?
It's a good question. I'm not sure. But that takes us through step one of the Gemara. And we arrive at that step by two Amarayim, Rav Acha bar Yaakov and Amemar. Yes. Correct.
Correct.
Meaning if it's right. If it's legitimately a suffix. Correct. Agree. Correct. Rav Acha. Okay, now I know this part's going to be confusing. Okay, it took me a little bit to get it. But now, this is Rav Acha, not Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Rav Acha being a different Amora. Rav Acha Sabalei k'Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Okay. Rav Acha agrees with Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Okay, so Rav Acha did exactly what we just did, meaning he agrees with Rav Acha bar Yaakov that a treifa can give birth. He agrees with a meimar. Good. Ravina lo sarvalek Rav Acha bar Yaakov. However, Ravina disagrees with Rav Acha. Ravina does not agree. Ravina says that a treifa cannot give birth.
So if it does, it's not a treifa going to Ravina.
And now. Okay, Ben, you're quicker than me. That means that according to Ravina, if the chicken lays an egg, that means by definition it's not a treifa. So Ravina lo sevela k'Rav Acha bar Yaakov, umasni leila da ameimar b'haylishna. Now, how is he going to learn ameimar? So he's going to have to learn ameimar a little bit differently, and it will be like this: Amar ameimar, hani bei de suffik treifa. Let's say you have a chicken which you're not sure may or may not be a treifa. It fell off a roof. It got attacked. We're not sure if it's a treifa or not. If it's a case where you have one of the internal organs which were punctured or severed, that's empirical. That's not a suffix. We're talking about cases where it's unknown. Like it fell off the roof, like it was attacked. Or it went through a fire. Right? Those are cases where we're not sure if it's a treifa or not. So now, d'shichli kama mashinan lohu. So look, the eggs that were already inside the chicken, when it became a treifa, that's not indicative of anything, because those eggs were already inside. Ihajra v'tana sharyan, v'ilo asiran. But what if it later lays eggs? Oh. Remember, you have to reject Rav Acha bar Yaakov in order to say this. But if you reject Rav Acha bar Yaakov, and Ravina does, so now him, or I should say better, her, the chicken laying eggs now, is a siman that this bird is not a treifa.
Without fertilization.
I don't think it matters.
As long as it produces
an egg. As long as it produces an egg, that's a siman that it's correct. That's a siman that's not a treifa. Eisvei now. Along this logic, now remember, you're only going to say all this if you argue with Rav Acha bar Yaakov and Ravina does. Ezra Rav Asher la'amemar, the Gemara now challenges. Again, we go back to this mission that we quoted above. Beitzas treif, the egg of a treif is going to be usher. Why? Because the egg grew inside of the mother. So the Gemara says, well, that's talking about shichla kama. That's only talking about the first round of eggs, meaning the eggs that were inside when the chicken became a treifa. Imkain, the Gemara says, okay, but remember the point we made a little bit earlier this morning. The language of the Mishnah, gadla gamra mi bayale, would have been much better had the Mishnah said the word gamra. Those eggs that finished inside the chicken, not the ones that grew inside the chicken. So tani gamra. So the Gemara here says, you know, that's a good question. We're going to go back to the Mishnah and we're going to tweak it a little bit. Instead of saying gadla, we're going to learn the Mishnah saying gamra. Elahadidnan, the Gemara says, okay, but let's go to this. Vlad treifa. What about our case of the fetus of a treifa? Rabbi Eliezer, Amar lo yikrav legabe mizbech, Yeshua Amar yikrav. Okay, we're talking about a animal giving birth, and the mother is a treifa. B'mayka miflgi. Kishi ibra l'sof nitrafa. Now, the case must be where mom became impregnated before it became a treifa. Because if you reject Rav Acha bar Yaakov, mom can't get pregnant after mom becomes a trefa. So the case has to be where it became pregnant before it becomes a trefa. Now, Rabbi Lazar savar uber yerchimahu. Rabbi Yoshua savar uber lav yerchimahu. So the Gemara says, exactly. So the issue over here cannot be Zevet Zegarim as the Gemara presented earlier. The issue has to be a different issue. What's the issue? The issue is another classic. Whether or not a fetus is considered a limb of the mother. So if you consider the fetus as being a limb of the mother, mom's a trefa, fetus is a trefa. If you do not consider the fetus to be a limb of the mother, okay, so I can separate. Mom's a trefa, but the fetus is a separate entity. The fetus may nourish from the mother, fine, but the fetus is a separate entity, a legally separate entity of that of the mother. Ihachi, again, the Gemara now is going to go through that same back and forth in terms of why are we talking about carbon? Why don't we have a simple discussion of can I eat it, can I not? And the Gemara is going to give the same answer. Ihachi adam iflegu legavo liflegu lehejo lo dicha kochad Rav Yeshua. We want to show the strength of Rav Yeshua. It's so mutter, I can even bring it as a carbon. And the Gemara says that, well, look, the position of Rabbi Yeshua, that it's mutter, even for the Mizbech, that's a stronger position to take, that's koch de heter. If you know for sure that the mom was a trefa, the egg that comes out is going to be a trefa as well. My time of gufahi, because it's part of the body of the egg. This over here is saying those eggs that grew inside.
But that's going to Rabbi Yaakov Yaakov because he's saying that. Is capable of putting out eggs.
This is finishing up the Ravina approach that disagrees with Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. And these eggs inside developed before the chicken becomes a trefa. And Rashi explains, since it's part of the mother, it's ma'urav, it's mixed together with the mother, so mom's a trefa, the eggs are also going to be trefa as well. Right, my time agufahi. Okay, there's a lot out there. The Gemara just threw a lot out there, meaning, right, there are many issues which the Gemara just kind of threw out and are really unresolved, meaning, can a trefa give birth? Okay, subject to a machlokas. Can a trefa live for more than 12 months? Subject to a machlokas. Can a trefa improve in condition? Subject to a machlokas. So there's a lot of things out there that the Gemara threw out there. We're going to have to, based on the position, on whatever position we're going to take, we're going to have to learn Mishnayos differently. We're going to have to learn the Machlokas between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Elazar differently. The issue of Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer can either be an issue of Zevet Zegarim. It could either be an issue of Uber Yerech Imo. So in other words, there's a lot of configurations that could be put together based on what position we're going to take. The Gemara now comes to closure on these issues, v'hilchasa, bizachar. When it comes to a male, kol shneim asar chodesh, 12 months. Okay? Male animal, possibly a trefa. It fell. It was attacked. It got burnt. Possibly a trefa. We're not sure. 12 months. If it lives more than 12 months, not a trefa. If it lives within 12 months, if it dies within 12 months, was a trefa. Okay. By the way, those of you who like scientific study, you could have false positives. It could die within 12 months and not have been a trefa, but I guess we'll say like what Danny said earlier, meaning now, right? There was some reason for us to believe that it possibly was a trefa, did fall, it was attacked, so I guess we'll say that it's a suffix. So in other words, we could have that false positive, but still, it's a suffix, so I guess we'll be machmir. Binikeva, kosh eino yoledes. And when it comes to a female animal, eino yoledes, it cannot give birth.
Okay?
So you're following Ravina, and you are in fact disagreeing with Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. Okay, good. It may have been inside when it becomes a treifa, but fine. So, but that's mu'urav. That's going to be considered part. Okay, now that we're here, so okay, good. So there are a lot of issues, and the Gemara really entertained a lot of positions, but the Gemara did come to conclusions.
Another question, Rabina, who did he hold by in terms of whether the fetus comes part of the mother or not? Did he hold by Rabbi?
Okay, good. Excellent question. That's what I'm about to discuss. Excellent. Okay, so the Gemara now has thrown out a lot, but the Gemara has also not resolved, but concluded what we're going to follow as a halacha. Treifa, not going to live within 12 months. Treifa cannot give birth. Okay, those are the conclusions of the Gemara. Look at the bottom Tosfos. Ve'hilchus ha'bezachar kol 12 chodesh. L'may demaskin en hashta. Now, based on this conclusion of our Gemara, hilchus ha'detreifa eino yoledes, we are now taking the position that a treifa cannot give birth. Okay? Does not have enough life force, does not have enough vitality. A treifa cannot give birth. Now, when you go back to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua, and they're discussing the Vlad Trefa, the fetus of a Trefa, there's only one way to explain that, and that's Uber Yerich Imo, right? Because as a Trefa, it can't get pregnant. Okay, so the only case that we can discuss over there about a Vlad Trefa is going to be where it became pregnant before it was a Trefa. And so therefore, what's the issue between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua, Uber Yerichimo? Whether or not the fetus is considered part of its host mother or it's not considered part of its host mother. Rabbi Yoshua, Sovra, Lav Yerichimo hi. Okay? So, and Rabbi Yoshua is of the opinion that it's not considered part of its mother. Vigabe Beitza, however, that's only talking about animal and fetus inside. But by egg, mode. He agrees that by eggs are considered part of the chicken. Kevin de agida begufa kegufa damya. Since eggs are more tied and more linked with the mother. Okay. Fine. We have, Toso says that's the conclusion that we're going to have to draw based on everything the Gemara just said.
It's a split decision.
It is a split decision. In terms of mother fetus is considered, according to Rabbi Yoshua, not part of the mother, ubalav yarechimahu, and so therefore we can have the mom being a treifa and the child that's coming out, the baby that's coming out, not being a treifa.
What makes you think that the egg is more dependent than a fetus on the mother?
Okay, 1 second. It's an excellent question. 1 second. We're gonna develop that thought in just a moment. But however, in the world of eggs, the Gemara says eggs. Everyone agrees that when it comes to eggs. Eggs are more linked, more connected to its mother, and so therefore everyone agrees that the eggs are considered a treifa just like mom is. Okay. Vitema. And Toso says, okay, oh. How did that happen? Vitema. And Toso says, based on that, I'm gonna challenge you based on a Gemara in Baba Kama. Now, it's so excellent. The question and answer here is so excellent within Tosvos. Follow. Now, in order to follow, just realize the following. Okay? A little bit of Nezik talk over here. Okay, in the world of the damaging animals, the animal's a tom, the animal's not, right? It's domicile, it's calm animal, and it damaged. Okay? So this is what's called the tom. What's the halacha? Chatzi Nezik. It only pays for half damages and migufo. Damages cannot exceed the amount of the animal that damages, meaning that the payment comes only from the body of the damaging animal itself. Okay? Just basic rules in terms of a tom doing damage. Now, gufo means that only the body, you can only collect from the body of the animal. What if the animal's pregnant? Okay? The tema. The bereish or shenaga chasapara mashma ipcha. The amaraba parsha iziku goba mi vlada. That if you have a cow that does damage, a female cow that does damage, so you can collect even from the fetus. Okay, why? My time a gufa he tarnagolus. I'm sorry, gufa he, because the fetus is part of the mother. Meaning when you talk about damages, you're talking about force. Right? Force is basically mass. Mass times acceleration. But you're talking about force. So obviously the fetus is part of the mass of the animal, damaging animal, so you're going to collect from the fetus as well. Okay. Tarnagolish Yeziko ena gova mi beitzasa. But if a chicken damages, You don't collect from the eggs inside the chicken. My taima? Pirsha be'almihi. So Tosus points out, because the egg, it calls it pirsha ba'alma. Pirsha is the Gemara's terminology for, it's like waste matter. Obviously the egg is not waste matter. But in other words, it's not part of the chicken. So umashma da afilu leisala paragova hakol mivladava amaya afilu isaya havla benigicha di ivlada nakolo ayachol agavos men avlad kola nezek hechad leisala parakevin dalav yarechimahu vegabitanagolos amaya inagova mibetsasa. And now Tosfos says, I don't understand. Meaning, the Gemara of Baba Kama seems to be, it's at total odds with our Gemara over here. Our Gemara over here says, look, when it comes to a fetus of an animal, okay, debatable, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer. But our Gemara over here says that when it comes to an egg of a chicken, everybody agrees it's part of the mother. The chicken, who's a trefa, the egg inside is going to be a trefa. And meanwhile, in Baba Kama, world of damages, we're talking about collecting from a chicken who does damages, don't touch the egg because the egg is just, it's not considered part of the chicken. So Tosa says, it seems to be the two Gemaras are total odds with one another. Okay, so Tosos now gives us a little more nuance in the whole discussion of eggs. Okay, eggs developing inside of a chicken. Okay, back in my college days in Yeshiva University, so we dissected chickens. So in biology. So you'll know that the inside, basically, it's like a cluster of grapes, right? The eggs that develop inside are ma'ur of beginning, meaning at one point in time they are, right, just like part and parcel. It's like a cluster of grapes. It's really part and parcel of the mother. So when you have a developing egg inside, and the issue is an issue of trefa, so at the early stages of development, you can't separate the egg from the mom. Meaning, unlike a fetus, you can view the fetus as a separate entity. It's debatable, which the Gemara here debates, but you, at least in concept, you can understand how the fetus is really a separate entity. But when you're talking about a developing egg inside the mother, you can't really separate the two. However, once the egg is finished and finalized inside the mother, with a shell around it, so at that point in time now, it's really a separate entity. In the world of trefa, which is what we're discussing over here in Chulin, you have to err on the side of caution. Meaning if the chicken's a trefa, you have to assume that the egg that's developing inside is at one of the earlier stages of its development. And so therefore we can't separate the egg from the mother. Okay. In the world of Nezek, there, on which side are we going to err? Meaning, the egg starts as a developing egg, but then we'll actually finish off with a shell around it, ready to be laid. In the world of Nezek, which side are we going to err on? Correct. Hamotzi mechaver al avaraya. If you want to collect money from me, meaning, right, I agree, my chicken damaged you, but now you want to take from the eggs, but you have to bring me proof positive that the egg that we're talking about was actually in its developmental stages when the chicken did damage. You don't know, I don't know. Neither of us know for sure. But if you're going to collect money from me, burden of proof is on you, not on me. So, right? So it's interesting. Basically now, when we're talking about the egg inside the chicken, we can at least look at it in stages. When it's part and parcel of the chicken, versus when it's formed with a shell around it, we do acknowledge that if we knew at what stage it was, we could say it's part of the chicken versus not part of the chicken. We're not really sure. In the world of Trefus, we're going to err on the side of it's going to be Aser. In the world of Nezek, Hamotzi Mechavero, we're going to err on the side of it probably was a finished product. Okay, let's go on in the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna. Okay? Rav Huna, by the way, today is not having the best day. No, that's not true. I take it back. Rav Huna says, you know, a similar trip for Yud Beis Chodesh, and the Gemara's conclusion was Yud Beis Chodesh. Okay, no, that's not true. I'm Rav Huna. Kolbiri she'ein bo etzem eino miskayim yud beis chodesh. Invertebrate. Okay, he's making a very, very generic statement, a very general statement. Invertebrate cannot live for more than 12 months. Okay, I'm not the zoologist. So, you look for me for confirmation. I'm just going to repeat what Rav Huna taught me. Invertebrate cannot live for more than 12 months. Amar Rav Papa Shmami Namid Rav Huna. But Rav Huna's statement is taken from the Gemara very literally with halachic ramifications. So Rav Papa says, what do we see from Rav Huna? Had Amar Shmua Kisha Shidliya Be'ivya Asura. Okay, I have cucumbers. Little worms are growing in the cucumbers, so it's going to be Asur. I have to give you one word of introduction in order to really understand what we're about to read over here. You know you're not allowed to eat bugs, right? I think we all basically know that.
Is it a share still?
Yeah. Yeah, worms also. We're not allowed to eat bugs. The eating of bugs is a lav min haTorah, is a negative prohibition. The Gemara Makra says it can be three, or it can be four, it can be five, it can be even, you know, it can be a number of lavin, a number of negative prohibitions of the Torah to eat bugs, right? When we eat any of our fruits and vegetables, so certain fruit and vegetables have to be examined and inspected to make sure that they have no bugs inside. Some people are even more cautious. Some people don't eat certain fruits and vegetables because of the proliferation of bugs. Okay, the bug talk. Okay. What is not known, which is not popular, although we're going to see this a lot in Chulin, and you got to know this information. It's only called hasheretz hasheretz al haaretz. Only those bugs which are on the ground. Okay. Meaning that bugs that actually grew inside a vegetable, hatched and grew inside a vegetable, is not prohibited. Only called hasheretz hasheretz al haaretz. Now, if the bug actually broke through the internal area of the fruit and made it to the surface of the fruit, that's considered hasheretz hasheretz al haaretz. Meaning, even though the fruit may not be on the ground, but if the bug made it to the surface of the fruit, that's considered hasheretz hasheretz al haaretz.
Which means what?
Meaning it's also, it's going to be prohibited.
It came from there.
It was, so to say, on the earth, right? Additionally, if the fruit was connected to the ground, even though the bug is inside the fruit, it's also considered sheretz sheretz al haaretz. Rashi, bottom Rashi, hatolas ba'achila dekev demalachas besoch hakishos v'hakishos mechuberes bekarka. If you have a worm in the cucumber and the cucumber is connected to the ground, sheretz al haaretz karinan bay. That's considered bug on the ground. Aval hitliya betalush, however, if the worm developed inside the fruit after it was disconnected from the ground, lav sharitzu adanafik mine. It's not considered a worm that is on the ground until it pops out of the fruit. Okay. Now,
from trees,
Wait one second. Wait. I mean, we're talking about cucumbers, so we're, you know. Okay. Now, the obvious question is, so in other words, I'm just talking the halacha now in the most abstract terms. Fruit disconnected from the ground, and then a worm is, right, planted, right, generated inside of the fruit and grew inside the fruit, that worm is mutter. I know that sounds strange. I know that, you know, we're not used to talking in these terms, but that worm is mutter. However, if that worm or bug grew while the fruit or vegetable was still connected to the ground, that's usur, that's considered asheretz asheretz al haaretz. Okay, that's your halacha. Now, the obvious question is, how in the world do you know? How in the world do you know when the worm, bug, let's call it a worm. When the worm developed, when the cucumber was in the ground, was cucumber detached from the ground, how do you know? The answer is, really, we don't know. But if we take Rav Huna's rule, we'll have an idea. Rav Huna says all invertebrate cannot live more than 12 months. Okay. So now, listen carefully. I'm Rav Shmuel. Kisha she'liya be'ivya asura. If I have worms that grew in the cucumber while the cucumber was connected to the ground, it's going to be asur. In the top of the next page. Hani tamre dekada. Labasa treisa yarche shasa shayan. But if I have dates, dates that were detached from the ground, and dates, right, they're dried fruit, so they can live out. In other words, after the cucumbers don't have a good long shelf life. Dates do have a long shelf life. So now the dates that were plucked from the ground, and the dates have been out of the ground for more than 12 months, and you find a worm inside the date, I know this is going to sound funny, enjoy the worm. It's protein. Yeah, it's fantastic protein. Enjoy the worm, because you know that this worm did not exist in the date prior, when the date was connected to the ground. The only, because Rav Huna says invertebrate only live for 12 months, and so therefore what you have now is a worm which has developed in a detached fruit and has not made it to the surface.
But how did they get in there?
Spontaneous generation.
No, but it must have
gotten in there after the thing. Now, Danny's a physician, and I know he's joking. But I'm not sure. I wasn't anticipating that question. I was anticipating another question.
Well, answer my question.
but at least I know the answer to another question, which is almost as basic, if not more basic. Even if it's dead, here we go. Even if it's dead, right? In other words, Rav Huna's rule is that an invertebrate will not live for more than 12 months. Okay, good. Even if it's dead, you're not allowed to eat it. Meaning, maybe it grew in the date prior to the date being detached. Okay, good. So it's not going to live for more than 12 months. But
it keeps reproducing.
But more basic than that, it's a dead worm. You're not allowed to eat. The Torah doesn't allow you to eat live worms, and the Torah does not allow you to eat dead worms as well. So even if the worm is, even if the worm has been there for a while, it's been there for 14 months. Okay. So what you're going to have to answer to my most basic question is, very good, is that after 12 months, we're going to have to view that worm as now nothing, right? As part and parcel of the fruit. Okay, this whole discussion that I just had, you're going to find in the basic Rishonim. You're going to find in the Rush, you're going to find in the Ran. You're not going to find down the page of the Gemara over here.
But there has to be a rule that they also decompose fast, meaning that there may not be any trace of it. That could be the answer. Yeah, there may not be any trace
okay,
of it.
Okay, right. That's what the Rishonim say. Let's do a little bit more for this morning so we don't fall too far behind. Amarav, Treisa Yarche Shayan. Okay, Amarav, Leis Baka Bar Yuma. Okay, Rav also makes statements. Insects do not live for more than a day. Velez didva bashasa, flies do not live for more than a year. Amli Rav Papa Labai Vamri, Inche Shev Shani Imra. Now the Gemara tells the following. I guess we'll call this like an expression. I'm not sure what to call this. Hamri Inche. Yeah, people say that Shev Shani Imre Bakata Mibaka de Amrle. Right? There was a quarrel between an insect. Now remember, according to Rav, an insect does not live for more than a day, right? There was a husband and wife insect. I know this will sound a little bit strange, but they had the following fight. Now, okay, fine, right? Husbands and wives, they have occasional arguments over here. Listen to the cause of this fight. Chazise labar michuza desacha b'maya v'salik v'ichrich b'sadinan v'usves alei. She says, here's what I saw you do. I saw you go to a man from Mechuza, and I saw you suck blood from him. Insects, right? Insects, mosquitoes. That's what they do. They attach themselves and they suck blood. You suck blood from an extraordinarily wealthy individual. And here's what you didn't do. You didn't tell me. Meaning, you suck the blood of a very wealthy, rich individual, and you didn't tell me. And as a result of that, so she separated from him for 7 years. Okay. Okay. Now, Rav says they can't live for more than a day. So, the Gemara says, okay, but I'll tell you another expression that people say, which is that you can hang 60 iron, iron, I don't know, ham, I'm sorry, Labaka bikornise. So you can hang 60 iron hammers on the on a insect. Now, 60 iron hammers on an insect? No, you can't. You can't hang 60 iron hammers on an insect. Meika, yugufi kamahavu ella bimani didhu hachanami bishani didhu. The Gemara says, look, these expressions that people say, you're not supposed to take them literally. It means, it just means relative to the insect. Meaning an insect, generally speaking, does not live for more than a day. However, in that particular husband and wife insect story, it said 7 years. It's an exaggeration. It means relative to how long an insect lives, right, they feuded a little bit longer than they normally would. Right, it felt like 7 years. In relation to the size of an insect can hold 60 hammers, 60 iron hammers. Not literally 60 iron hammers, but relative to the size of an insect, 60 iron hammers. Okay. Again, expressions have meaning, expressions have significance, but you cannot take that so literally. All right, a lot of basic stuff today. Today was an unbelievable daf. I talked about the concept of the Zev Zegar. We talked about the concept of Uber Yerich Imo. We talked about a trefa not living for more than 12 months. We talked about a trefa not being able to become pregnant. Okay, a lot of most basic discussions that we have regarding trefa are found on Chulin Daf Nunches, the Gemara's conclusion. Trefa does not live for more than 12 months. The Gemara's conclusion is trefa cannot become pregnant. And the eggs of a trefa, so the Gemara's conclusion is that the egg of a trefa, so if it's a chicken, it's considered goof of the animal, and so therefore the eggs of a trefa bird is usar, is going to be prohibited. If it's fertilized, then we get on to the discussion of Zev Zegorim, but remember the conclusion is that a trefa...
Ravina said it's
a... Right, Ravina says that a trefa can't give birth. Okay, that's it. If it does, it means it's not a trefa. Correct.